Scytheric Productions presents X-Men Season 1, Episode 3, The Unstoppable Juggernaut. Starring Jason Rivers, Omri Rose, Natalie Winter, Joseph Zarevic, Robert Pierce, Stephen Chesterton, Daniel Earle, Tommy Garavik, and Chris Machari. Narrated by Sam DeVero. Written and edited by Calderton. On the original stories by Stan Lee and Jack Kirby. X-Men is a trademark and copyright of Marvel Entertainment. Theme for 20th Century Fox. No infringement intended.
In Lower State New York, a top-secret military prison has been reduced to smoldering ash. Bodies now lying where once there were brave men. Men who tried to stop the unstoppable. Walls and barricades have been destroyed. Panic is in the air as the prison's most dangerous inmate, a massive figure finally free of his underground cell, stomps towards the prison wall with a purpose. As he prepares to storm the guard tower, the world around him suddenly alters. The guards and the other prisoners running past him as if he were not there. Only one person seems to perceive him. The mysterious hooded man who now makes his way towards the massive inmate.
They will not bother you for now, Kane Marco. They can't see us now. I have made sure of that. Besides, the guard's going to be rather busy attacking you on your way out of the main gates. Or so they think.
Out of my way, little man. Before I crushed you as well.
In a moment. But first, you might want to hear what I have to say. I take it you intend to go after the one who put you here.
How do you know about?
We know it all. That is why we arranged this little prison break. Without us, you would still be in your hibernation cell.
So what do you want? A thank you?
Not at all. Just a moment of your time to present you with a gift. Something to help you attain your goal.
I don't need no help.
No? How do you intend to stop your stepbrother from just doing what he did last time? Simply shutting down your mind and sending you back here. You didn't really think this plan through, did you? It is a good thing our master has.
Our master?
Well, mine at any rate. But he hopes both can work together in the future. Mutant brothers in arms.
Who are you, then?
Me? I am merely a messenger, but I represent someone who wants to help you succeed in killing Charles Xavier. As I have said, he has a gift for you. You'll find it by that guard tower. I have made sure that no one but you and I can see it.
What is it?
A suit. You call yourself the Juggernaut. Well, now become one. Be what the world and your brother fears.
I don't need no clown suit. Take down Chuckles.
Ah, but you do need the helmet. It is made of the same synthetic alloy that comprises his, an alloy that blocks psychic abilities. My, my. Now you're interested. And you'll need to wear the suit because the helmet clips onto it. It's a package deal, so to speak.
By that guard tower?
Yes.
And what does he want in return?
Nothing. Just the death of Charles Xavier. However, we would prefer you leave his students alive. We want them for our cause.
Students? So he opened that school of his. No promises.
Well, at least try and leave one or two.
Agreed.
Good luck, Juggernaut.
With these final words, Jason Wingard is gone, leaving Kane Marco alone as he returns back to reality. Stomping and crashing his way towards the guard tower, he finds waiting for him a large, heavy, armored brown and silver suit. He puts it on, piece by piece, feeling its weight and strength, and finding it all to his liking. The large, dome-like helmet is the last to be donned. Placed over his head and snapping into clips at the base of his neck, with this last action, Kane Marco is truly transformed, now and forever known as the Unstoppable Juggernaut.
All right, Charlie, it's payback time.
Hey, Scott.
Oh, hi, Jean.
What are you up to?
Trigonometry homework.
Can we call it homework when we live in the same building we take our classes in?
I guess.
So, you got any plans tonight? The rest of us are going down to that new coffee shop in town.
I kind of really have to finish this.
You'll be done by the time we go.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I mean, I think so. Probably. I'll let you know.
Okay. Be good if you could come. We don't get to see you much out of class.
Well, I just am...
Busy with homework?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you and Warren are getting pretty close.
Yeah, he's a cool guy.
Yeah, good-looking, blonde, rich kid. What's not to like?
Sure. Why? Scott, are you...
I'll go tell him that.
You certainly will not.
What's this?
Beast is mad at the prof, but won't go and tell him about it.
Mad? About what?
It's nothing.
That last mission. The Vanisher guy. Hank said he pretended it didn't bother him, but it really did.
Thanks for that, Robert.
You mean about the mind wipe stuff?
I just wondered if that is what we're about here. If when someone doesn't want to join the school, get in line with our vision for mutant kind, then do we just alter them until they do join us, or are no longer a threat?
Maybe you should go say this to the professor.
That's what I told him. I mean, I know the mind wipe things got so freaked out, but I can live with that. That Vanisher guy deserved it for being a selfish prick with his powers.
Bobby, no one deserves to have their natural gifts taken away from them like that. Have who they are altered by someone else. Think about it. What are we but a collection of our memories and experiences? Take that away, and you change the very core of who we are.
You take away free will.
Exactly.
Okay, so the prof did bad, but he said he won't do it again.
And what if we face Magneto again? What will the professor do if we're able to knock that dumb helmet off?
He'll do what he has to, Hank.
Really, Scott? Haven't you ever wondered if he didn't manipulate our parents to convince them to let us come here in the first place?
I don't have any parents.
Oh. Yeah. Sorry, Scott.
Students, to my study at once. We have an emergency.
Come on.
The four, soon joined by Warren, rush to their teacher's study. Once there, he fills them in on the situation.
Kane Marco was locked away in that hibernation sleep because he was far too dangerous to be held elsewhere. And now he is free. And he is coming here.
Here? Why?
Because he wants me.
And why does he want you?
Because I am the one who put him in that prison.
Okay.
And he is my stepbrother.
Stepbrother? You had your stepbrother put in cryosleep in a military prison?
I had no choice, Henry. Kane Marco may be my stepbrother, but he is also the cruelest, most malicious person I have ever known. And once his mutant powers developed, he became even more dangerous.
What are his powers?
He is truly the unstoppable force and the immovable object rolled into one. People, guns, even tanks have all tried and were merely swatted from his path.
Then how did you...
My mental powers. As you have all seen, they can be used to stop even the most powerful mutant.
Indeed.
My students, I know your trust in me has waned, but Kane is coming. And when he gets here, he will stop at nothing. Go through anything and anyone to get me. And after I am gone, no one on Earth will be able to stop him.
Then it's settled. We suit up.
We really are becoming the mutant police force.
Henry, are the new defensive systems online?
Yes, sir.
Good. Those along with all of you should slow him down enough for me to enter his mind. Once I do that, it will be over quickly as it has begun. Any questions? Then let us prepare.
The X-Men spring into action, preparing the mansion for the incursion. Hank brings the mansion's defensive turrets online, targeting them at the entrance of the grounds. Bobby uses his ever-growing abilities to transform the water from the fountain and even the air itself into a solid wall of ice, supplementing the walls about the school. Scott uses his powerful gaze to blast a moat in the ground around the house, into which Jean and Angel place landmines, all the while being thankful that the nearest neighbors are miles away. As the preparations are finalized, Warren takes to the air to scout the perimeter, and Jean makes her way back up to Xavier's study.
Professor?
It's all right, Jean. You can come in.
Are you okay?
Okay is not a word that I would choose.
What happened between you and your brother? Sorry, step-brother.
Cain, like his father, never liked me. His father's only interest in marrying my widowed mother was for her money. And Cain was a bully, a bad egg, even before he developed his mutant gifts.
What are the chances that you would both develop powers, I mean?
Our fathers worked together as nuclear scientists, and as such, were frequently around radiation. In fact, my mother always believed that is what gave him the cancer that killed him.
I'm sorry.
No need, Jean. No need. Brian Xavier has been dead a long time. A very long time.
But you think that the radiation caused your mutation? Yours and Kane's?
It is a theory. But then there are those like Eric, who believe we are simply the next stage in human evolution.
What do you believe?
I believe the jury is still out.
What's that?
Cerebro's proximity alarm. He's here.
Oh, Charles.
As the Juggernaut approaches the wall of ice about the school, his gait never slows. With ease, Marco smashes through the wall of ice. Then the walls of the mansion grounds themselves, never breaking his stride. His dome-helmeted form comes into view as he marches up the garden path.
Now, Hank!
Hank presses a button at his side, and with it, the turrets fire. Impact! Flame and smoke erupt, but the blast does nothing but scorch the grass. From the smoke of the explosion, the Juggernaut continues his march towards them. Again and again, Hank fires. Always with the same result.
He's reached the mines!
The X-Men look on as black smoke covers the place where Marco stood.
I think we got him!
Iceman has spoken too soon. As from the smoke now emerges the unwavering form of the Juggernaut, still walking towards them, unslowed, unfazed. The mines, seeming to have done nothing, but make him that much angrier.
Well, so much for the defenses.
It doesn't matter, Henry. He is close enough now. This is over, Cain. You have come far enough. Oh no.
Professor!
I can't get through. Something is stopping my telepathy. I haven't felt anything like it since Eric. His helmet is made of the same substance as Magneto's. I can do nothing until it is removed.
Understood.
They will need your assistance, Jean.
Yes, sir.
With each long, pounding step, the Juggernaut draws ever closer to the mansion. He is only meters away from the team as Jean joins them by the front door.
I have connected you all telepathically. Scott, you are in charge.
Sir?
You commanded the team in the danger room, Scott. Now it is time for you to bring that experience into the real world.
Professor,
I believe in you, Scott. I have chosen you to lead the X-Men.
I chose it from the moment the group was formed because I understood that is what you were born to do. Now, lead.
Yes, sir. Bobby, you and I will let loose with everything we have. Use every bit of moisture you can find, even if it's off your own skin.
Okay.
Gene, take the ground out from under him. Hank, you and Warren flank him. When I give the signal, both go in and get that helmet off. Now! Marvel Girl, now!
I told you not to call me that!
He's down. Beast, Angel.
At once, oh fearless leader.
With a single stride and a bounding leap, Beast jumps onto the back of the Juggernaut. Marco struggles with him for a moment, then throws Hank off. As he does, an optic blast shoots from Cyclops like a laser, knocking him back into the path of Angel, who now swoops down and unclasps one of the helmet latches. Marco swings at him, but as Warren flies away to avoid it, Beast now leaps upon him and undoes another latch. Kane Marco struggles to refasten his helmet, when suddenly Gene lifts the ground beneath his feet, putting him off balance, allowing her to use her telekinesis to undo a third latch. Only one left. The strain of moving the unstoppable proves too much for her, however, and she falls to her knees, all of her energy spent, nothing left to give.
Gene!
I'm okay. Get the last latch off.
Okay. Everyone on him!
Cyclops then lets loose with a blast at the final latch. Angel now swinging in to remove the helmet. But at the last second, Juggernaut brings up a hand and deflects the beam at Warren, sending the winged boy careening toward the mansion walls, falling from them to the ground below. Marco then swings and delivers a knockout blow to Beast as he tries to access that final latch.
All right, kids. Playtime's over.
Juggernaut renews his strides across the raised ground, moving ever closer to the mansion doors.
Gene!
I can't! I don't have anything left!
I do!
Thanks for the cooldown, kid.
Juggernaut shatters the ice around his leg, kicking the defenseless Bobby and sending him flying into a stone pillar of the mansion itself and out of the fight. Scott stands in front of the massive figure, sending a final desperate blast at Marco, hoping to bring him down.
Hey, that tickles.
Marco brings down a massive hand into the path of the beam, further and further down, squeezing onto the head of Cyclops, squeezing his hand to now crush the visor.
No!
Scott falls to his knees, his hands covering his eyes, now closed, while the mighty fist of the Juggernaut crushes his visor into a ball, tossing it away like garbage. Scott, realizing his predicament, brings his head up to open his eyes again, but brings his head up into the waiting hand of the Juggernaut, who smashes him into the ground. Head first.
Scott! No!
The one known as Cyclops now lays still, unconscious. Jean is the only member of the team left alert, though unable to even stand. She tries, pulling herself onto her hands and knees before the oncoming Juggernaut.
You're lucky he wants you kids alive. Though if you try to stand up, little girl, I might have to break that promise. After all, he did give me a bit of leeway. Now, if you will excuse me, I have some family business to settle.
With that, the Juggernaut relatches his helmet and continues his course, crashing through the Xavier Mansion doors and into the entryway. The only thing to stop his forward momentum is the sight of Xavier appearing at the top of the main staircase.
Kane, end this. You want me? Here I am. Leave my students alone.
Hello, dear brother. I'm home.
That I can see. Where did you get the suit?
A friend.
Magneto is using you, Kane. Let's talk like brothers. No one else has to get hurt.
No one but you.
What do you want me to say, Kane? I had no choice.
No choice? You locked me away, Chuck, because you couldn't control me. It's not like you didn't have options. I mean, why wasn't I invited to this school of yours? You could have fixed me. Could have just changed my mind and made me one of your docile pets.
I would never.
Don't lie to me. You didn't do it because you didn't have the stomach for it.
I wouldn't be able to change your mind enough to make you a good man, Kane. To do so, I would have to wipe away the core of who you are.
I see. So you'll change a person a little to make them see things your way. No problem. But if someone hates you with everything that they are, then you will just what? Lock us away in a military prison? Kill us?
I know I have done wrong by you. Please, let me try and fix it.
It's too late for that, Chucky boy. 8 years. 8 years you kept me on ice. Took away 8 years of my life simply because I hated you. Nothing you can say or do will change that.
Then get it over with. Kill me.
Don't mind if I do.
The Juggernaut's massive feet take to the stairs, breaking them as he storms up them step by step. Reaching forward, he grabs his stepbrother's wheelchair, tossing it and Xavier down the stairs. The smaller man rolling to the floor below with a yell. But Xavier has been using this time to stall. The conversation with Kane has allowed the X-Men to recover, to regroup.
Now.
What?
Suddenly, unable to move save for his eyes, Kane Marco looks towards the doorway where Jean Grey stands leaning against the door, her full effort on holding him still. As he starts to break free and move his arms, she guides Scott, eyes still closed, to face the stairs. When he is set, Jean moves away quickly, releasing Juggernaut as she does.
All yours, Scott.
On cue, Scott Summers opens his eyes. The naked, raw energy bursts forth in a dazzling light, the force sending Juggernaut flying back through the staircase, destroying it. He crashes into the debris and lays still. The optic beam pounds down on the massive form as it struggles to break free. Now Iceman rushes in, blasting at all four limbs of the unstoppable one, freezing his hands and legs to the broken wall, allowing Scott to close his eyes. Hank and Warren join the fray, Hank leaping up onto the Juggernaut and unhooking the front latches of the helmet, as Marco now breaks free with a yell. As he moves towards the fallen Xavier, Jean uses her telekinesis to undo the back two latches. Marco continues his walk forward, reaching for his brother with one hand and the latches with the other. But before he can reach either, Angel swoops in, grabs the domed helmet, finally lifting it off. With its weight, he is only able to take it a few feet away before dropping it with a yell.
No. No.
I'm sorry, Kane.
No!
Xavier now brings his fingers to his head, pressing them there. A millisecond later, Kane begins to slow, his body starting to give up, as his head is now exposed, and with it, his mind. But he will not stop fighting, defiantly continuing towards Charles, his hand reaching out, almost there, about to seize his brother in his mighty grip, but falls on his face with a thump that shakes the very foundation of the house. His outstretched hand falls limp ahead of him, as his body lies still.
It's over.
Minutes later, the military and police are on the scene. In the meantime, the students have changed into their street clothes, hiding their part in all of this. Now they merely seem to be normal, frightened teens being questioned by a police officer with a notepad. Ahead of this, by the fountain, Xavier, now back in his chair, is in mid-conversation with a suited man.
They're gonna want to know where he got the helmet and the suit, Chuck.
We both know the answer to that, Agent Duncan.
Yeah. Yeah, we do. But what am I supposed to say when I get asked how you stopped this monstrosity?
Same as before. Good home security.
Yeah. You know, this habit of covering up for you with the higher-ups is going to bite me in the butt one of these days.
And I appreciate it, Fred.
Well, you better appreciate it. The government ain't going to like that you're using your students to fight your fights, Charlie. Not even our branch of the government.
I don't like it either. But I couldn't have stopped Kane without them. And they are at an age where they can make that choice for themselves.
And I can't cover for you forever, Chuck. You gotta keep yourself out of stuff like this. You stay in your school and off the battlefield, or we may have to shut you down. Are we clear?
Perfectly.
what will happen to him?
Him? He goes back to the fridge. You know we don't have a choice about that.
I know.
Yeah, well, and the way things have escalated since that Magneto guy showed up, the place better get ready for more inmates.
Reserve a place for Eric.
Sure. Be seeing you, Chuck.
Oh, Fred. About that stealth plane I ordered.
I'll give you a call as soon as it's available, all right? You're lucky you have connections. You can't just buy a Lockheed SS-71 on Amazon, you know, even if they are retired.
Good. Our helicopters are attracting too much attention.
You'd stop attracting attention if you'd stay in your school and stop interfering where you don't belong, eh?
I'll do my best.
Sure you will. Bye, Charlie.
Goodbye, Fred.
At the other end of the grounds, the five students of Xavier's, their questioning finished, stand watching this exchange.
I hate lying.
What do you think the professor was talking about to that CIA-looking guy?
Where to find a repair crew for the house, I hope.
We helped him mind-wipe someone again.
I know, but in this case I agree with him. We didn't have a choice. Right, Hank?
Hank?
But Hank McCoy is no longer standing there. The door of the Xavier Mansion shuts with a heavy finality. The authorities and emergency vehicles have left now. The mansion grounds have fallen silent. The only signs that anything has occurred here is the damage to the house and grounds themselves. As the students drift off to a well-deserved rest, Charles Xavier wheels himself into his darkened study, making his way over to the left-hand wall. He opens the way to Cerebro and, turning it on, places the helmet upon his head.
Eric. Eric. I know you can hear me. You can't wear that silly thing all the time.
Hello, Charles.
I got your warning, Eric. It seems you didn't feel the need to keep up your end of the deal.
I don't...
Don't lie to me, Eric. My stepbrother. You freed him.
Marco was just a distraction. Call him my second harsher warning.
And yet you gave him everything he needed to succeed.
I would not have been put out if he had, but I knew you and your students could handle him. What are you calling him now? X-Men?
You've sent your warning, Eric. Now hear mine. Stay away from my home and my students. Or I will come after you. Are we clear?
Yes. Good night, Charles.
With that, Xavier takes the helmet from his head and exhales slowly as he sits alone in the dark. Halfway across the world, having finished his mental exchange with Xavier, Magneto stands drinking in the morning breeze. He is dressed in his battle suit, sans the helmet. As he marches back inside, the hooded figure of Mastermind appears seemingly from nowhere, while another, a grotesque twisted version of a man, hops with toad-like agility onto the balcony.
Forgive me, Magneto, but why didn't we just recruit Juggernaut?
Kane Marco was a powerful mutant, but he is a loose cannon. He would not have taken my orders or worked with any of you as a team.
But Master, we are still outnumbered 5-3. 6, if you count Xavier.
I know that, Toad, you fool. The situation has escalated. We may need an able force sooner than I anticipated.
Then it is good we have found several more candidates. 5, to be exact.
Name them.
Mastermind walks to a computer and presses it to bring up the images and dossiers on the large screen before them.
Angelo Unisconi, an MMA fighter. He's using his powers to win a few fights, but not enough to arouse suspicion. However, no fighter is able to even land a punch near him. They call him Eunice the Untouchable. He cares little for anyone but himself and his own fortune. He would not be easily recruited.
At least not yet. Next.
Frederick Dukes. His mutant power is invulnerability. But he's grotesquely obese and uses his abilities as a circus freak.
He has potential. I will seek him out next.
Sean Cassidy has the power of a sonic scream, which he...
No.
Sir,
The man is ex-Interpol. He is too connected to the old order and will not understand the new one. Next.
Okay, this one's a twofer. Pietro and Wanda Maximoff. Pietro can run at super speed. Wanda's powers are a little more, complicated. But rest assured, she is very powerful and very useful.
Indeed. Then I believe I will begin with these two. They may be exactly what we need.
Several hours later, in the Oval Office of the White House, the President of the United States sits behind his desk, watching footage of Kane Marco's destruction played before him. When finally it finishes, the man handling the remote turns, a tall, lanky, mustached man, with a fiery hatred in his eyes.
First that Magneto character attacks and levels one of our key bases. Then that criminal steals secret military plans. And now this? What else do I have to show you, Mr. President? What else do they have to do before we start taking actions to protect the people of America?
These people are one thing, Dr. Trask. But what about the normal American citizens that are starting to become these mutants?
So long as they fall in line and register themselves, they have nothing to fear. My defense program will be to target threats like these and that other group of costume mutants that keeps showing up at the scene of these attacks.
You are telling me to take the resources from our military, millions and millions of dollars, and give them to you to build these giant metal robots?
No, sir, not metal. Your guns are made of metal, your tanks, even your missiles. Magneto can control metal. We saw what happened at Cape Citadel when we tried conventional means. Plus, my robots will have my patent mutant detection units installed in them. We will be able to find these terrorists before they ever have a chance to make their next move.
What do you need? And when?
300 million I can build four. For a billion, a whole legion. It's your call.
What do you call them, these robots of yours?
Sentinels, Mr. President. I called them Sentinels.
X-Men Season 1, Episode 3. Narrated by Sam DeVero. Starring Jason Rivers as Charles Xavier. Omi Rose as Cyclops. Natalie Winter as Jean Grey. Joseph Zarabic as Iceman, Robert Pierce as Angel, Stephen Chesterton as Beast, Daniel Earle as Magneto, Chris Machari as Juggernaut, Tommy Garabic as Mastermind, Thaddeus Gilmore as Toad. Also with Kevin Gaddy as the President and James Frankowski as Bolivar Trask. X-Men Season 1 is a non-profit fan production with no affiliation or connection with Marvel Entertainment or 20th Century Fox. For more, find us on Facebook under X-Men Audio Drama or follow us on Twitter under Cypher Inc. Podcasts. Next time, Episode 4, The Memory Remains.